This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, explorer Paul Rose is usually found in the world's wildest places, where he works with scientists to find solutions to climate change. But for the last 2 weeks, though, he's been in downtown Geneva in Switzerland at a major UN conference to encourage countries to ban widely used toxic substances and plastic pollutants. He's been talking to Daniel Johnson from UN News about what the average person can do to make a difference.
So I'm here at the Conference of Parties here in Geneva for the Basel Rotterdam Stockholm Convention because of my interest in discovering pollutants in the wild places. There's something about it. You know, you're in these places, imagine the beautiful monochrome polar life. There's not many colours. It's restful and peaceful and exciting at the same time. Or being at sea or being on beaches, wherever we are in, we're in the world's most pristine places. And yet, you turn the corner and we discover pollution, either what is invisible, such as all of our water samples we take on all of our expeditions all over the world contain nanoparticles of plastic. We can't see it, but we know it's in that water sample. Or just a few weeks ago, I came out from the jungle in Costa Rica, the Corcovado. Wow, it's an amazing place with four different kinds of monkeys and sloths and birds of all kinds. Come out from that where everything was pristine. And as soon as we hit the beach, what did we see? Plastic. But it's a disaster. So I'm here to help understand and communicate what is going on with persistent organic pollutants.
You've talked about persistent organic pollutants, or POPs. There are a few of them that are going to be, or hopefully going to be, listed as banned substances. Let's talk about a few of them. One of them is PFOA. Do you know what it stands for?
No, I don't.
Well, it's pentadecafluorooctanoic acid, apparently.
Easy for you to say.
And Dicafol, which is an easy one. Now, that's a pesticide that's used in farming for tea, vegetables and cotton. So widely used, highly toxic. What are you hoping to get from this Conference of Parties meeting here in Geneva? It meets every 2 years.
Well, I'm really hoping that we get these chemicals listed and indeed banned. I mean, who would want to live in a sort of giant, global, out-of-control chemistry experiment? And but for the good work being done here at the Council of Parties, that's exactly how we would be living. So I'm hoping that they get listed properly and then managed properly. And the thing with the conventions is they provide a sort of common denominator, a shared platform for leaders and decision makers and industry to make smart, informed decisions.
Right, so how many leaders are we talking about? I mean, how many people have signed up to the Basel, Rotterdam and Stockholm conventions?
Well, they're big numbers. Basel is 186, Rotterdam is 159, and Stockholm is 181. So it's a force to be reckoned with. It's a global network of smart people really making a difference, keeping us safe.
That brings me to another thing that I remember you saying a while ago. How are there parallels with asbestosis and today's unseen threats?
Well, this is it. Part of the work we do here is to make the invisible visible. You see something like PFOA, and this unfortunately falls into this soup of acronyms, and one immediately turns off. And one of the good bits of work they do here at the Council of Parties is try and decode all that so that we can understand it properly. And PFOA is everywhere. It's in cookware, it's in sofas, it's in foam for firefighting and all the rest of it. And this kind of thing is out there, but we don't know it. And but for the work of the firefighters, it was the firefighters who led the PFOA campaign, because they were using it regularly, of course, in their firefighting foam. It's hugely effective. And their colleagues were getting sick. Too many of them were getting sick, and it became blindingly obvious that there was something wrong with this. So that's what's driven the point to, come on, let's get this stuff listed and then banned. Similarly with asbestos, you know, it's in buildings, it's in our brake drums on our cars, it's in some of our pipe work and all the rest of it. And I have a little bit of history with asbestos, because I was an apprentice at Ford Motor Company in the 1960s in England, and we used asbestos to insulate the tools from the big machines. And I remember then we were drilling it and machining it, and then we'd take an air hose and blow it. Psh, unbelievable. Then a few years later, I was still in my apprenticeship, it was replaced by something else, I forget the name of, and we were still blowing it around. And during that period, I suddenly learned that in the 1930s, asbestos was a regulated substance because of the health effects were documented. So it's taken all of these years for people to say, come on, we've got to do something about it. And I met some people outside who are actually victims of asbestosis. And it was quite moving to meet them and realize they are here petitioning for smart decisions to be made. And that illustrates one of the many challenges that the Council of Parties face.
One of the things that we've learned from this Conference of Parties is that plastics can absorb these persistent organic pollutants, such as DDT and dioxins. They're frequently found in marine litter. So How is that initiative coming along here at the Conference of Parties to clean up marine plastics?
It's interesting, isn't it, that now the plastics awareness has reached such a high point. I've never seen anything like it with a global environmental issue. I mean, everybody, go to any school, any industry, anywhere, people are talking about plastics, particularly marine plastics. And I'm delighted they're focused on the way that plastics can become sort of super polluters. You see the big things at sea, and I've been in remote places with the most perfect tuna blue water, we call it. Oh, look at that. And the reefs are bursting with life, and the sharks everywhere, you know, top predators, amazing life. And all of a sudden, a whole bunch of plastic will come floating by, a raft of it. But what we should know, and we must let people know, is that as well as the big lumps of plastic drifting by, once they've been at sea long enough and begin to break down, they become like magnets and become pockets of super pollution. So I'm absolutely delighted that the council of parties are focusing on marine plastic. And the first thing we can do is stop putting as much plastic in the sea as we do. There's no excuse for it. And I've seen that change in behaviour. Now, we wouldn't think of putting an empty water bottle on the beach and leaving it, would we? We wouldn't think of putting a plastic box or a food container somewhere in an over-full litter bin and let it blow into the sea. There is a change in our human behaviour. And industrial behaviour is changing. We're looking at all of the world's rivers. And with the benefit of remote sensing, we can now watch this material coming out of certain rivers. So that means we know where to go and stop it and start finding sensible alternatives. There's a lot of sensible alternatives. I'm just back from Ljubljana, where I was in a plant where they take hundreds of thousands of abandoned fishing nets and turn them, by great chemistry, turn them into nylon, which is exactly the same as virgin nylon. And they make luxury goods from it. So leading through example, and it's profit making. People love it.
I was going to ask you about what we could actually do. Normal people in the street, people who haven't been perhaps inspired as you have by the natural wonders of the world and maybe the solutions you've seen here and there and the ones that you've just talked about. What can people in the street do every day?
Well, it is worth looking at the Sustainable Development Goals. Look at Target 12.5, which is all about substantially reducing the amount of waste we produce and use more recycling. And the way to do that, I mean, we all get a bit frustrated, don't we? You go out of your house and you've got to put your plastic there and your cans there and you're travelling and you go, oh, what do I do with these things? And there's nowhere obvious to recycle them. Then we must realise every single action that we do works. Some neighbours of mine hate it. And they don't recycle anything, so I do it for them. You know, drives them crazy, keeps me sane. You know, we've got to do something about this amount of waste. What can we do? Learn about it, do local litter picks, raise awareness with the councillors, vote for the right people who have that in mind. Buy things that fit those goals. Similarly, you may work in industry, and the decisions you make in the boardroom should be based on the Sustainable Development Goals and say, well, look, if we did this, we'd make this much money, keep the shareholders there. If we did that, we'd make a good amount of money and we would help answer some of these environmental. Why not change our values a bit? You get the whole planet looking at something like that and we've got it. I'm very optimistic about achieving the Sustainable Development Goals, all of them.